This morning, I'd like to extend a special welcome to our guests and visitors. You are our guests this place. We welcome you and invite you back whenever you're here to be with us. Got a few announcements before we begin our worship service. On the sick list this morning, Tony Barron's not with us this morning, he's not feeling well. Also, we need to remember Sister Pam Bays, who worships at Northwest, has been battling cancer. It's an ongoing struggle, so we need to remember her in our prayers. I don't have anybody else on the sick list. Out of town, we've got Tim and Janet out of town today. And then I don't know if it's out of town. I didn't see any meetings that are being posted back there. But we got one coming up at West Side beginning Thursday and runs through Sunday. Go ahead, it's at West Side in Owensboro beginning at Wednesday, Thursday through Sunday. I made that really clear. Thursday through Sunday. All right. The order of worship this morning, our opening prayer will be taken care of by Brother Mike Johnson. The Lord's Day will be taken care of by Brother Keith Wiggins. Song leader this morning will be Brother Mark Nevins, and he selected song number 260 as being the first song. I'll take the song books, turn to 260. Lesson be brought to us this morning by Brother Chuck Bartlett. And the closing prayer will be brought by Brother Jesse Kirkland. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that I pray for? If not, we'll take our song books and join in the worship prayer.
It's good to see everyone out this morning. As I mentioned, Chuck asked me to sing, you know, at the bottom of the list. 260, there's a theme in the song this morning. I'll let y'all figure out what that theme is. We'll sing all three verses.
I am the vine and ye are the branches. Bear precious fruit for Jesus today. Precious in him, no fruit ever bearing. Jesus has said, he take it away. I am the vine and ye are the branches. I am the vine, be faithful and true. As was he grew, your grace shall be granted. The Father of me.
Again, all three verses.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will pray in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord.
Simple as us, be able to make our wants and petitions known to you at any time that we choose. And Father, we're so thankful for that avenue of prayer that we have for you. Father, we're so thankful for all the good things that you do for us, for the material blessings that you bless us with. Especially in this country, Father, we recognize how blessed we are, far above our needs and even our wants, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful that you've allowed us to have these things, but help us, Heavenly Father, to caution ourselves not to become materialistic, but to recognize that all these things that you've given to us here are from your hand and not from our doing. Father, most of all, we thank you for the spiritual blessings, for the word that you've given us, for the easy access that we have to it, that we can open the Bible at any time and read your words to us, that we can have a better understanding of you and your will and how we can be better in our service to you each day. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the plan of salvation that you had in place even before the world began. We're thankful for Jesus and his willingness to lower himself, to come to this earth, to give himself, and to go through the agony and the pain and the anguish that he did, to sacrifice himself for us. And we're sorry that it was our sins that caused that path to happen. But help us, Heavenly Father, to always keep that in the forethought of our mind, to never take that sacrifice for granted. Father, as we're assembled here this morning, as we enter into this worship service, we pray that our minds be in proper places, that as we're singing songs this morning, that we would not get carried away in the tune, but we would think about the thoughts and messages that we're singing, that the words that they convey to one another, that we can strengthen and edify one another as we sing. As we sing this morning, we pray that we would sing with spirit and understanding. Father, we pray that you'd be with Brother Chuck as he speaks to us this morning. Give him a good remembrance of those things that he studied, and help him to present those in a clear and effective manner. Help us in the audience to open our Bibles and our minds to search those things to make sure that they are in accordance with your word, Heavenly Father. And if they are, that we'd all make that proper application if we see fit in our life. Father, we're mindful of those who are mentioned sick of this number, who are ailing, and Father, we pray for them, the ones who are mentioned at Northwest as well. And Father, we pray your healing hand upon them at this time. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that there are those who are struggling spiritually. We pray that you be with them in their specific situation. Help us to recognize our responsibilities and our duties to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can do what we can to strengthen and encourage them. We pray, Heavenly Father, in just a few moments as we're about to eat the Lord's Supper, have our minds again to be in proper places to remember the the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. As we partake of that, that we would do that in remembrance of the sacrifice that was given. Father, we're also mindful that from time to time that we do sin, that we do fall short of your glory. Forgive us of those sins, Heavenly Father, and that we can repent of them, that we can stand before you with clean hands and pure heart. Father, we know that after today, then in a short time, we will go back out into the world, whether it be school or work. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we go out into those places, that we would not forget that this world is not our home, that this life is just temporary. Help us, Heavenly Father, to never pass up an opportunity to teach those that we come in contact with, and to live a life that is devoted to you, that others might see you living through us, and that we can take the gospel to those that we come in contact with. Father, we pray that you would go with us as we go through the further exercise of this hour, that all these things that we do would be in accordance with your will. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 299, to continue the thoughts of the prayer and bringing our thoughts from the world into the gathered the Lord's place. 299. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and weak. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
The song we just sang chorus says, "How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." And that's a great thing for us to be able to sing and proclaim to one another. And the reason why we can say how marvelous and how wonderful, if you look in verse 4, as we just sang, it says, "He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone." That verse there is a kind of a contrast to singing how wonderful, how marvelous, because it has a kind of a sad connotation, a one of sorrow. And that's what Jesus had to bear for us. He had to go to the cross for us to be able to sing how marvelous and how wondrous is his love for us. As we assemble around this memorial feast we are about to partake of, we need to think back and try to understand the reason why we do this. And to help prepare our minds, I wanted to read a very familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So as we prepare to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, as the scripture says, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. So as we prepare our minds to partake, let us put aside all the cares and concerns of the outside world, and let us focus upon the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's give thanks for the bread. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer at this time, thanking you so much for your great love for us and the plan that you put in place before the foundation of the world, Father, realizing that man would need a plan of redemption. And we thank you so much for your Son and his love and his willingness to submit himself to your will, to come to this earth, to give us the perfect example of how to be obedient to you and to live a sin-free life, Father. And we're so sorry that because of our sins that he had to offer himself up upon the cross for us, Father. But we are so truly grateful for that great sacrifice, and we realize that without it, that we would have no hope and be separated from you eternally, Father. We pray that as we are about to partake of this bread, which represents your Son's body, Father, that we will prepare our minds in the proper way, and that we will partake of it in a way that is pleasing unto you, Father. We thank you for this bread and for what it represents. In your Son's name we pray. Give thanks for the cup. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to your prayer once again, thanking you so much for the great love that was shown on our behalf and the great sacrifice that was made for us by your Son and our Savior Jesus. And we thank you so much for this cup, which represents that blood that was freely shed upon that cross for us, Father. And we realize that without that blood being shed, Father, that we would be lost eternally. And we pray that as we partake of it, we have prepared our minds in the proper way, and that we will do so in a way that pleases you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Concludes the Lord's Supper. We now enter into another part of our worship service, where we as members here at River Ridge have an opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of that which he's given unto us. If you're visiting with us, this is not a solicitation for your funds. This is strictly a work of the church here for the members here at River Ridge. Would you bow with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you so much for the many blessings that you have given us in this life, Father. We thank you so much for our health and the ability for us to have jobs and to earn income, Father. And we know, Father, that all those blessings come from you. And we pray that as we are about to enter into this portion of our worship service where we have an opportunity to give back to you, that we will do so cheerfully and not grudgingly and with purpose in our heart, Father. And we pray that the money that will be given, that will be used in a way to further your work, Father, and that you will be glorified by what we do with that money. And we will use it in accordance with your scripture, Father, with your word, and that you will be pleased, and that we may be able to spread your gospel in this area and find other souls who are looking for you, Father. We pray that as we're about to give back, that we do so in a manner that pleases you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
would, mark the hymn books to hymn number 772 for the invitation. 772 would be the invitation on hymn. Theme of the song service, for those of you trying to figure it out, where we're going. First one's about abiding, it works, and the love. This one's about the heart, 598. If you would, please stand. We'll sing all four verses of this hymn.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms about and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior,
number being gone. I'm glad you're with us. Glad for our visitors. I want to encourage you to take hold of your Bibles and follow along this morning. We're going to start off by reading four different passages of Scripture. And so let's go to the book of Timothy, if you would. The book of Timothy. You're going to hear a similar phrase found in every one of these passages, and you'll soon pick up what that phrase is. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He tells us in verse 15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Turn over to the fourth chapter, same book, fourth chapter. He tells us in verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, picking it up in verse 11. He says, "This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And one more in Titus. They're all close together here. Chapter 3 of Titus. And he says in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and the things I want to affirm constantly, that those who believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to me. I like that phrase. This is what? Well, we have it. This is a faithful saying. And that's just what I want to spend a little bit of time talking about when we think about a faithful saying. You ever have somebody tell you something and you say, is that the truth? Are you lying? Well, I wouldn't have told you if I didn't believe it. The point is, we sometimes question certain things. And the idea of having something that is a faithful saying. Well, what do we mean by that? What does Paul mean by that? By saying, this is a faithful saying. Well, first of all, we can say that about a lot of different things. But the point is, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're saying that it's a faithful saying because, number one, it has come from God. So he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is what Paul was telling the Galatian brethren in chapter 1. He says in verse 11, he says, Galatians 1:11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. So a faithful saying, number one, is something that comes from God. We're talking about spiritual matters, of course. They're trustworthy. They are reliable. It's the truth. That's why they're considered. This Paul mentioned it on these four occasions. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, quickly, one more point on this. 2 Peter chapter 2. And he mentions in verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved until judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, and so on down the line, if God didn't do this, if God didn't do that, the point is, and the song we just finished singing, promises are true. A faithful saying that we're talking about, they are promises, and God keeps his promises, and that's why if you go back to those four passages, when Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. God makes a promise to you and I, many promises to us. And so when we consider that, we understand clearly that they can be considered faithful. Well, I guess we could look at the opposite of that. If something is a faithful saying, can there be an unfaithful saying? A saying that is not faithful? Well, of course. And I think Paul did that with Timothy again. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we would consider them vain babbling, empty, useless. And he mentions that in verse 20 as he tells his young evangelist, 1 Timothy chapter 6, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace to you, amen. You can see what Paul wants this young evangelist to understand, that there's such thing as vain babblings. I mean, you only want to commit to men faithful sayings. To imply that you are teaching truth without Scripture is to profane the Word of God. We're slowly getting to where I want to go. To go to Matthew chapter 22, please. Said all that to lead up to an example of that which is not a faithful saying. Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 23. Okay? Look at this. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose life of the seven will she be? Whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Here is an example of people that had a saying, they had a teaching, they had a doctrine. It was not faithful. And why wasn't it? Well, Jesus points it out right here, first of all, in verse 29. You are mistaken not knowing the scriptures. Now, TJ had an invitation on Wednesday night. I didn't get a chance, I told you, I didn't get a chance to talk to TJ. TJ's going, what did I say? But there was a statement that he made in there that was perfect. And that was, when he told the story, he said, that's fiction, this is fact. And we better know the difference. We better know the difference between fiction and fact. And a lot of people tell a lot of fiction out there to try to get people to do what's right. And he was talking about, you go on the internet, and they got all these stories, story after story after story. And, you know, and I'm like, what is that all about? Because people think there's power in the stories. Power's in the word. And people get to the point where they have these teachings that are not true, because they're not based upon the Word of God, is the point. Well, I'm spending a lot of time in Timothy today, but I'm going to quickly go over to 2 Timothy and read a familiar passage to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I'll back up in verse 14. He says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord to not to strive about words to no profit. That's what I'm talking about. Words to no profit. To the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to pick up on that. Brethren, if we're going to stay strong, I want you to have this desire. I want faithful saints. I don't want saints that are not faithful. A saint that's not faithful is not knowing the scriptures. And the reason why people today are flocking and growing and believing things out there because they don't know the scriptures. So I'm sure that these Sadducees had some success in convincing people there's no resurrection. Oh. Prove it. And so we're trying to get people to understand that. Now that's not the only thing that you had Jesus pointing out there over in Matthew chapter 22. First thing he said to them, as I just finished talking about, you're mistaken not knowing the scripture. Simple as that. But he said, nor the power of God in all of this. So that's your problem. You know, you sit there and reason, and there's a lot of people there that there are a lot of unfaithful sayings out there because people are so smart. They have reasoned through this, and that can't be. No. There's no way this earth was made, and you know that, and everything in it, and mankind. 6 days? 6 24-hour days? No. I've thought this through. and I've come up with this conclusion. You don't know the power of God. You question the power of God. Oh, what happens when this lady's up in heaven and she's married seven people? I mean, whose wife is she going to be? Oh, wow, you got me there. Yeah, I see you thought this through because you know the scriptures and you know the power of God. No, you don't know either one of them. It's your problem. And that's what we try to get across to people. You know, whatever it is that we talk about, we understand the power of God. We understand what the Word of God has to say. And that helps you and I stay with faithful saints. But I tell you, folks, you're going to get on shaky ground. You're going to be on the soil. When one or both of those things are missing from our lives, we're going to find ourselves believing things that are not faithful saints. They just haven't studied and haven't accepted the power of the gospel. And that will come up a lot, folks, when you're studying with people. And we had a great class this week with a couple. But, you know, you're listening for a while, and you're listening. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. No. I kind of keep it there because we'll eventually get there. But there's a lot of things that have been taught. And so you have to do some unteaching before you can teach them. But they have received what they think are faithful sayings. Now, here's my question. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this morning. Why do people think certain things are faithful saying when they are not? Well, we get about 4 or 5 points with this, and really that's not the main thrust, and so we may have two lessons. But here's a big one, and you'll run into this a lot, and don't find yourselves falling victim to this. You want to believe faithful sayings, right? So Paul tried to encourage the brethren. I mean, he's trying to count Timothy and Titus and then commit these to faithful men. You want to believe faithful sayings? Don't find yourself convincing yourself that something is right because you think it's in the Word of God. Have you ever had anybody tell you it's in there somewhere? I can't begin to tell you how many studies I have been in where people said, I know I read it. Well, I'm telling you now, boy, you can fix that. I mean, unlike maybe 30 years ago when I was in the house with somebody, but now with their little phones and the concordances, you know, put in a phrase, just find it. I'll give you 30 seconds. You know, you can find anything in 30 seconds now if you've got a Bible program. But the point is, and I don't do that to people. I say, well, go home, you know, you find it and come back to me. And they usually don't come back to me, but I've shared with you a lot of different examples where people are saying, well, cleanliness is next to godliness. When in Rome, do as the Romans. You know, they got all these sayings that they think are true, and they're just not there because they have convinced themselves it's in the Word of God, and it's not. Of course, that goes along with one of the points we made earlier from Matthew 22. You don't know the Scriptures. You are mistaken. It sounds biblical. And a lot of things that are being taught in pulpits across the land sound spiritual. But sounding spiritual is not the same as being biblical. Get that. I mean, you can talk about the Lord and talk about His great love and His mercy and grace. But we're going to be touching on things a little bit later and possibly this afternoon that we need to be aware of when that happens. But let's move on. Turn to Luke chapter 18, if you would. Luke chapter 18. Not only are people convinced that there are certain things are faithful sayings when they're not, because they don't know the Word of God, but because as long as it's easy to accept, a quote. Now, I'm going to use this quote differently than being accurate. You know, they're considering some things faithful sayings because they like what they hear. I'm not going to consider something a faithful saying if I don't like what I'm hearing. But folks, we need to understand the fact that there are times when there are faithful sayings, true faithful sayings, that are hard to hear. They are. For example, in Luke 18, beginning in verse 18, there was a certain ruler who asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "Then all these things I've kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, and because he was very rich. There have been times I've been in studies with people. Everything has gone great. Even visitors. They'll come for a few weeks and everything's wonderful. And then all of a sudden something is brought up. I don't like what I'm hearing. But it's a faithful saying. No, no. I only want to hear faithful sayings that make me feel good. And that's why Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to turn their ears to fables. They don't want the truth anymore. But they're going to consider that a faithful saying. And so, therefore, if we just preach on verse 20, aren't these faithful sayings in the true sense? Well, yeah, that's true. But if you're going to omit certain things, if you're not going to preach on all things. But the point is, you preach it in season and out of season, 2 Timothy 4:2. What's that mean? I'll tell you, if preachers only preach when it's in season, watch out. You're going to preach it when it's out of season. What's out of season? Well, when it's not popular. When it might be considered as a hard saying, as you have over there in John 6, we'll read a little bit later. Are there sermons, certain sermons that are easier to handle than others? When are certain things hard? Let's think about that. What's a hard, faithful saying for us? Something that hits home. Have you ever heard the expression, oh, you stepped on my toes? Well, of course we've heard that. The more you read the Word of God, we're going to step on our toes because I'm looking at an audience and myself of a bunch of people who are not perfect. So sooner or later, folks, something's going to come up in a study that all of a sudden you're comfortable, then you start squirming. Uh-oh, that's me. That's me. Well, yeah. But do you want faithful sayings? That's what we're getting back to. The heart of today's lesson is, we read where Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. It's faithful because it came from God. God's promises are true. It's reliable. It's truth is the point. Is that what we want? Well, yeah, Chuck, that's what it's all about. That's what I'm doing here. Okay, great. Everything's wonderful. But you need to understand there's some people who seem to think that some things are faithful saying, some things are, when they're really not, because they think it's in the Scriptures. Number two, because it should be just easy. If it's hard, then it's not a faithful saying. So if you go into a Bible study thinking that, well, I'll study with you, Chuck, or I'll study with you, if I'm saying this guy, as long as it's on things that I agree about, everything is wonderful. But what if we don't agree? What if it's something you don't agree about? This person didn't want to hear it. The last thing he wanted to hear was, go sell all you have and give to the poor. Well, I don't want to hear that. And I'll tell you, in certain Bible studies, there are certain things that have come up, that's the last thing they wanted to hear. Was something that hits home to them. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, obviously. You know what's a faithful saying, and I've had people say this. A faithful saying is that which will keep peace within the family. What? Look what Jesus said here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father. A daughter against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, there are things that true, faithful saints that a person will say, wow, if I did that, there's going to be problems in our house. I'm not considering that a faithful saying. That's not worthy of acceptance for me. Because what's more important to me is keeping peace within the family. There are people who say, you know, Chuck, if I did what the Lord asked me to do, my husband would leave me. What am I going to say? See, if you do what the Lord says, you think your husband can leave. Well, you don't know that that's going to happen. But really, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. But if what you're wanting me to say is, well, then don't do what the Lord says. Good grief, man. That's the last thing we want is division within your family. Well, we better cut that verse out of there. A faithful saying is hard at times, and to consider it faithful as long as it keeps peace within the family, well, no. And friends, and neighbors. Now, I'm not trying to drive the wedge there, folks, but again, we're trying to help people. Give them faithful saying is the point. What Jesus told in Matthew 22 to the Sadducees, they didn't want to hear it. But he gave them a faithful saying by saying, look, what you're believing is not right. It's not according to truth. It's not worthy of acceptance. There is a resurrection. Here's a big one. Turn to Acts. Go to Acts 17. Why in the world would somebody consider something a faithful saying that's not? And the reason why this one is powerful is because I did it at one time. I used this reasoning. And that is, my teacher told me. My preacher told me. My pastor told me. I am convinced that this is right because of who told me it, is my point. Somebody who I have complete trust in and confidence in told me this. Now you think about that. I have been in studies with, look, this guy would not lie to me. And I have put all my, would you do that with me? If you don't remember where it is, and you're in a study, and you go, listen, Chuck preached on that. Wow, this is real. This is true. When I studied with the guy, his name was Wayne. He was a good friend of mine, or my best friend was his brother. And I remember talking with Wayne, and the subject of baptism came up. And I says, what do you think about that, Wayne? And I can still remember to this day, he goes, Chuck, I don't know, but Ernie, that was our preacher, Ernie preached a lesson on baptism a while back, and I know he preached the truth on that. I don't know what he preached, he said. I don't remember what he said, but he preached the truth on it. You talk about putting confidence. I don't want you to do that with me. You know, Chuck preached on that a while ago, and I've got all the confidence in the world that what he said, it was a faithful saying. I've got my confidence in him. You know, put your confidence in the truth, not in man. And this is what Paul commended these brethren for doing in Acts 17. You guys know this passage. It was in Acts 17:10 that the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They searched the scripture. It wasn't just like, wow, Paul, you're an apostle? Well, I'll just believe whatever you have to say. That has destroyed congregations. I preach to myself often here, folks. I don't know if you realize how often I preach to myself. Because I have witnessed too many times where preachers run the church. And they make the rules. And you do what they say, or they're gone. It's like a threat. You need to thank your lucky stars that I'm preaching for you attitude. It's wrong. But I can see how it can happen. When people start coming in, there's no Bibles. This Chuck's not going to lie to me. I'm not going to follow along because you know what? I put all my trust in him, my confidence in him, that Chuck's not going to lie. Well, folks, I'm not going to try to lie to you, but you hear me say, I'm going to try not to. My goal is not to. But I'm not a perfect man. And so we need to look out for each other here. But that's what happens. Well, it's a faithful saying because I know he wouldn't lie to me. So, well, what about this? And we get back to our first point again. That confidence in man is what causes the people to believe sayings that are not faithful. And, of course, John chapter 6 brings to light another reason why people believe these, quote, faithful sayings. They're not faithful sayings. Not the way Paul used it. Best way to remember this is 666. Yes. John 666. Chapter 6, verse 66. So John 6, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The reason why for that was verse 60. Verse 60 says there were many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. That was one of the points we mentioned earlier. Now move down to verse 66, right? They walked with him no more. Verse 67. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Other people go, to whom shall we go? Oh, let's go with the majority. How many times have you ever talked with somebody and what they're saying to you, and I always had a dime every time somebody said this, they would say, Chuck, do you realize what you're saying? I said, what do you mean? If I believe what you're saying, then I'm saying all of them are wrong where I've been going. And so I'm not going to say they're all wrong. Oh, so it's a faithful saying because a lot of people believe it. Is that what you're telling me? And a lot of people will do that. Getting together with a bunch of people that will just stroke each other, you know, agreeing in error, doesn't make it a faithful saying, folks. And that's why we have to be careful here. You say, well, Chuck, we must have the truth because every member here believes the same thing. That's a good thing, because that's what Paul wanted, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You believe the same thing. There'll be no divisions among you. Okay. But we're not right because we agree. We have to be right because it is a faithful saying. It's not a faithful saying because we agree. It's just that we agree that this is a faithful saying, the truths that we have learned. Now, here is the lesson. What do you mean? That set up this important question. What are some modern day faithful sayings in the religious realm that are common? You've heard of them. What are some of these faithful sayings that people teach that are not, but they're not faithful sayings, but a lot of people believe them today? That's the next one. Tonight's sermon, we're going to look at a lot of these sayings that people consider faithful, but they're not. We already spent time figuring out why people think they are. Okay, so when I go with these points, now I'm not going to spend time talking to you. Well, let me just give you one that's not on my list then, because I can think of a lot. But let me just give you an example of showing you that I'm not going to overlap. Because I'm going to talk about, well, there's some people who seem to think that faith only saves. It's not one of my points. It could be one of my points because a lot of groups teach that, right? So we're going to say, this is a faithful saying. Faith only saves you. Why do people believe that? Well, I'm not going to get into the why because we already studied why people believe things that are not so. But we're going to examine tonight some sayings that people think are faithful, but they're not. And we have to stay on guard about those very things. So I didn't talk this morning about becoming a Christian, but you know what I've been talking about today? Is that we as God's people need to make sure that we are on the straight and narrow. That leads to eternal life. Because it is a broad road that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in thereat, and we need to make sure that we are part of that. Now, question of the narrow road, that is. Are you a Christian? In a moment, Mark is going to lead us in a song. If you have any questions, we'll sit down, we'll talk with you, we'll show you from the Word of God, the faithful sayings of how to become a Christian. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back and be restored. We'll sit down, we'll pray with you and pray for you, but we want you to be right with the Lord. Remember the first part of our lesson tonight, folks. We want to accept fact, not fiction. And there's too much fiction that's out there today in the religious realm that people have come to accept it as fact. And it's not. And we need to be careful. And lessons like this help us to teach those who have been duped, who have been fooled. Because part of the songs that we were singing, well, this one up here. I want to be a worker for the Lord. You can't be a worker if you don't know the truth. And you need to stand on those promises. God expects us to do that. If you're sub the invitation in any way, will you let it be known as we stand together and sing the song now?
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long?
Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why not, why not, why not come to him now? Why not, why not, why not come to him now? What do you owe, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. Why not, why not, why not come to him now? Why not, why not, why not come to him now? Do you not feel, dear brother, his spirit now striving within? Accept his salvation and throw off that burden of sin. Why not, why not, why not come to him now? Why not, why not, why not come to him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? Harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Why not, why not, why not come to him now? Why not, why not, why not come to him now?
While everybody's being here this morning, the work of the Spirit and the truth. Kind of ironic, the question in Matthew 22 that the Sadducees put to Jesus. I don't know if y'all caught that. The resurrection question. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, actual life, or the angels. So that's kind of an irony twist there for that question. Is there any other announcements that need to be made? If not, those one directed to lead to close the prayer. Go ahead.
Our Father in heaven, we thank for this time we've had to study another portion of your word. We are thankful for this congregation that gathers here and the love and support we have for one another. We pray that we are always striving to live our lives as best as we can so that we can get ourselves to heaven and those that would follow along with us. We pray that we would be mindful of the true faithful sayings and not be led astray by the false teaching of the world. Pray that you help us to be strong as we go throughout the rest of this day and bring us back this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Mark.
Appreciate it, buddy.